Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Ian Tuttle of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives, as usual. And Ian, with 16 now Republican presidential candidates, it's hard for some of the less well-known ones to get some attention. Carly Fiorina is one of them, but for those who do pay attention to her media appearances, she is very good not only at succinctly making very strong points, but making sure that the usually fairly liberal interviewer doesn't steer the conversation either. Yesterday, she was on The Lead with Jake Tapper, who is probably one of the more balanced reporters out there because of the fact that he was even willing to talk about the Planned Parenthood videos. A lot of other reporters are not. But he had Carly Fiorina on, first of all, to talk about the 20-week abortion ban that we talked about yesterday that Scott Walker signed in Wisconsin. And Carly Fiorina immediately turned the conversation to Hillary Clinton.
Let's also talk about Hillary Clinton's position. Let's talk about what extreme is. It's not a life until it leaves the hospital. That's Hillary Clinton's position. It's Hillary Clinton's position that a 13-year-old girl needs her mother's permission to go to a tanning salon or get a tattoo, but not to get an abortion. It's Hillary Clinton's position that women should not be permitted to look at an ultrasound before an abortion, and yet people who are trying to harvest body parts can use an ultrasound to make sure that those body parts are preserved so they can be sold. That, Jake, is extreme.
And then she also talked about how Americans, despite the media's attempt to paper over the difference, hates late-term abortion.
But the majority of the American people now believe that abortion for any reason at all to be paid for by taxpayers after 5 months is an abomination. And this videotape, whether you're a pro-choice woman or a pro-life woman, this videotape is depraved. The casual nature with which these people are talking about fetuses and tissue and specimens. I tell you what, if a woman was looking at that ultrasound at that same stage in her pregnancy, the doctor would not be talking about fetuses or specimens or tissues. They would be saying, look at your baby's heartbeat. Look at your baby's eyes. Look at your baby's organs.
So, Ian, very succinctly put, very strongly put, and the contrast between what pro-life activists believe in Hillary Clinton's position couldn't be clearer.
It's so good. That whole clip is so, so good. At one point, the camera goes back on Jake Tapper, and he looks caught off guard that Fiorina was so forceful. The question that he initially poses, she eventually answers, and she does it in exactly the right way, which is, you know, my position has been clear. It's always been clear. Here it is. But here's what we really need to be talking about. It's just a golden media moment, and to Fiorina's credit, she has a number of them. That's the political element here. On the merits of what she's saying, too, she's absolutely right. You look at the way the media has been operating over the past week or two. Every Republican has to comment on the presence of Donald Trump in the Republican primary, but no Democrat is being asked about Planned Parenthood. I believe I saw this morning that Jim Webb admitted that he hasn't even watched the videos. So there's an absolute double standard. And what Republicans are going to have to do forcefully, vigorously, assertively is turn this question around and say, look, here's what I believe. What about the other side? What about this extremism? Fiorina has been hands down the best at doing that, although others are picking up. Perry turning the question back on Mark Halperin, Rand Paul turning the question on Debbie Wasserman Schultz. All of these are good things. And with the Planned Parenthood videos coming out and more of them likely to come out, they're going to have a lot of opportunities to push this question. And I think the public is right on board with what Fiorina is saying, with the bill Walker just passed, and with the general Republican position on these questions of life and death. So A+ to her, and I hope to see a lot more of it.
Yes, absolutely. Well done. And again, slight kudos to Tapper for even allowing the subject to be aired on CNN.
Absolutely.
And we'll be talking about media bias a little bit later in our podcast today. On to the bad martini now, and this is courtesy of your colleague Joel Gerke over at National Review, and that's that President Obama won't allow Congress to review two key aspects of the Iranian nuclear deal, Republican lawmakers learned from international partners last week. Under the terms of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the International Atomic Energy Agency would negotiate separately with Iran about the inspection of a facility long suspected of being used to research long-range ballistic missiles and nuclear weapons. Mike Pompeo of Kansas, who's big on this issue, the Obama administration has failed to make public separate side deals that have been struck for the inspection of one of the most important nuclear sites, the Parchin Military Complex. Not only does this violate the Iran Nuclear Agreement Review Act, it is asking Congress to agree to a deal it cannot review. But it gets worse. The terms of the current agreement would not allow Congress to review any concessions the IAEA makes in order to get into the site. Pompeo is saying even members of Congress who are sympathetic to this deal cannot and must not accept a deal we aren't even aware of. And that certainly begs the question also, Ian, what other side deals are there that Congress may never know about?
Yeah, absolutely. It's an extraordinary revelation. And unfortunately, not too surprising a revelation, but one that should have every Democrat growing increasingly skeptical of this deal. If they want to pass a deal that has just gaping black holes of ignorance in it, Republicans need to turn that around on them from here unto the end days. There's another aspect of this which I think is fascinating, and that is this is exactly the method of negotiating arrangements or legislation that we've seen from the Obama administration since day one. Obamacare, many people have made this point, is really not a national healthcare system. It basically is a delegation to create a national healthcare system to an enormous bureaucracy. You look through the Obamacare bill, and of course, it's the secretary may, the secretary shall, et cetera, et cetera. So none of the actual, or a good deal of the actual substance is not there. It's up to the bureaucrats to develop it. Well, that's exactly what has been done with these side deals. The Obama administration has basically outsourced the details of particular arrangements to the IAEA, sort of wash their hands of exactly how some of these stickier parts of it are going to be done. That's just par for the course for the Obama administration, and it's just a further confirmation that they really don't want to be responsible for any of this. You know, at the end of the day, they could sort of say, "Well, this was the IAEA's way of doing it, and you know, we sort of developed a multilateral consensus on this," or you know, whatever other jargon they want to use to sidestep the issue. And so, anything that goes wrong is going to be their fault. It's going to be sort of the fault of the international community, so to speak. It reinforces for anyone who still had a shred of doubt that this whole deal was simply about getting a piece of paper with the right politically convenient, expedient words on it. It doesn't actually matter what those words mean. This is all about a legacy. This is about Obama's Nixon in China moment. These secret deals that Congress is just now finding out about are just further proof of how deceptive this whole process has been.
This is the third slap in the face to Congress. First, not calling it a treaty. Secondly, sending it up to the UN Security Council before Congress has a chance to review it. And now the revelation that they can't even see everything that's in this deal. So
absolutely. You wonder, I've been wondering this, if John Kerry were still in the Senate, would he be okay with this treatment, or would he be condemning the administration for all of these end runs around his body? I don't know. You have to wonder.
Probably depends on which party has the White House, I would have to say.
Yeah.
Be my guess. All right, on to the crazy martini now. And this is courtesy of Newsbusters. In yet another example of bias by omission, the big three of ABC, CBS, and NBC all refused to cover on Tuesday night a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing from hours earlier devoted to sanctuary cities and murders committed by illegal immigrants who benefited from the policy. As it often does, the Fox News Channel special report was there to pick up the pieces left by their network equivalents, with a full segment on Tuesday's program by Chief Congressional Correspondent Mike Emanuel. So you might be thinking, well, Brett Baer's got a full hour. The news on the networks is only half an hour. So maybe they just didn't have time because there was so much other news happening. Well, further down in the story, it says this. Instead of continuing to cover this issue, the CBS Evening News devoted a news brief to whales at the Japanese zoo spraying onlookers with water to help cool off from the warm temperatures that country has been facing. On ABC's World News Tonight, one portion of the Instant Index segment was spent hyping viral video of a baby instantly waking up when the song Uptown Funk came on the radio. Rounding out the networks, NBC Nightly News found it pertinent to report to viewers that the findings of a new study that concluded men who become fathers are at risk of gaining weight. So, Ian, it's pretty hard to explain what happened there when this is an issue that has dominated the headlines for weeks, and even the networks paid some attention to it. Hillary Clinton had comments about it. The fact that these other ridiculous stories got attention and that one didn't is literally inexcusable.
Yeah, you know, the Japanese whale zoo whales are hot right now. You know, that's a hot button issue. Unfortunately, it's not too astonishing. This is something that the networks and Congress and the rest do not want to talk about because it goes against the narrative of illegal immigrants coming to the country for noble, compassionate reasons, wanting to be Americans, you know, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of that is probably true. I don't doubt that a lot of people who've crossed over illegally want to create better opportunities for their families, et cetera, et cetera. But they're far too eager to gloss over the serious questions of additional criminality, noting that crossing the border illegally or overstaying a visa are crimes to begin with, that additional criminality is a reality of our current immigration policy. And so once you actually confront that, once you address that frankly, you have to acknowledge that sanctuary cities, there are 300 jurisdictions in the country that are sanctuary jurisdictions, that these areas are harboring not just, you know, the compassionate for my family type of illegal immigrant, but violent criminals. And so that's the reason that they don't want to confront this, because you really have to, you'd have to go down into the roots of the immigration system, which is something they're loath to do. All of that said, Katie Steinle's name and her face are known to a large number of people. It was just a story that you really couldn't get away from, and that you won't be able to get away from. Because I think in 2016, once we get into the general election, a Republican candidate who says that name, who talks about sanctuary cities, is going to be covered. There really won't be any way around it. You can have a media blackout, but when it's only two candidates, it's going to be a lot more difficult to ignore. And I think a smart Republican candidate would be flogging this issue and saying part of the reason that we need to perform a dramatic reform of our immigration system is for cases like this. Her name, her face. Joshua Wilkerson's name, a young man who was tortured and murdered by an illegal immigrant. You know, these names and faces can be the faces of a call for dramatic immigration policy reform, and the media is simply not going to be able to ignore that if a Republican candidate is smart in the way they publicize it. So I'm cautiously hopeful that we'll see some progress here.
And whoever that nominee is, if it's not Carly Fiorina, take lessons from her, because she's really good at keeping herself on message. So, Ian, very good as always today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Greg.
Ian Tuttle of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us. Tune in again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.